Welcome, everybody. This is Eliza Jane. I'm back for a one-time gig, and I am standing in for the dynamic duo Vito and Alan that are normally on Monday nights, but I think I've got a pretty good show for you tonight. I welcome everybody here, and if you want to ask some questions during the discussion, it's 319-527-6706. This is Global Patriot Radio. Thanks for joining tonight. And my special guest tonight is Leo Homan. He's an investigative journalist and author of the book Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. But he's been doing a lot of writing. He's a great investigative journalist and been doing a lot of writing about what has been going on with these vaccinations, the mandates, how it now is reaching babies, not just adults, and what does that mean, and why are they doing it? Who's involved in all of this? And man, has he got a lot to tell us tonight. So, Leo, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me on, Eliza Jane.
Yep, this is going to be an interesting discussion. And folks, for your education, if you don't know anything about Leo, you need to. He's got a website at leohoman.com. It's Leo, HOHMANN.com, leohoman.com. Please go out and check him out and help him, because he's writing this so you can be educated, so you can understand what's going on, so you can take a stand. And just like the song says, that used to be my song, Leo, when I was on the radio.
That's one of my favorite songs. You could not have picked a better song for these times.
Tom Petty, really, I wrote those words for such a time, didn't he?
Absolutely. I loved the song even before these times, but now I really love it.
Well, I used to be on the Global Patriot Radio. It used to be called Radio Jihad, so I might slip up a little bit and call it Radio Jihad. But the Global Patriot Radio, I was on it for about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. But we are reaching a lot of people. And so that's why I said, well, if they need it, they had an open spot, I thought, well, let's fill in and try and put out some of your information, Leo, and get some press for you.
Absolutely, yeah. The message I want everyone to take away from tonight is let's not back down. In fact, let's stand up to these bullies and hold our ground in face of what is really, Eliza, an unprecedented, historic groundswell of globalism coming at us in our face every day, trying to push these so-called vaccines on every man, woman, and child. And they won't even tell us what's in them. They won't even tell us what's in them. And yet we're supposed to take their word for it that they're good for us. You know, people like Anthony Fauci, who, you know, has done some of the most barbaric human-animal experiments known to man, where he has taken humanized mice and paid for research. This was at the University of Pittsburgh. He funded a study there for professors to take mice and graft the scalps of aborted babies onto the mice, and for totally experimental purposes. And we've also heard about what some of the other animal experiments he's funded over the years. And so why should we be surprised that he's funded this gain of function, I can't say that clearly, research in China, which people are blaming the Chinese. And, you know, you have the Epic Times calling it the Chinese Communist Party virus. No.
Right.
It should be called the Anthony Fauci virus. It started here, and then when the research was shut down, it was going on at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I believe it was a man, a professor, I hesitate to call him a man, Professor Ralph Barrick was involved in it there. It was also going on at the University of Maryland. And when it got too risky and the scientific community started to mount an outcry, there was like over a couple of hundred of scientists who signed a letter and sent it to the Obama administration and said, hey, This stuff is dangerous, and it needs to be stopped. And so rather than stop it, Fauci just moved it over to the Wuhan, China facilities, a lab there and also a university there. And then, unbeknownst apparently to President Trump when he was in office, it got kick-started even more. And this is what we're dealing with now. This has been in progress for decades, since at least around the early 2000s. And the chickens have come home to roost now. They've got this virus completely, tricked out to where it can be highly contagious to humans. And I was in a conference Saturday, Eliza, with Dr. Carrie Madej and another doctor. Had the privilege of being the middle speaker between those three, myself and the two doctors. And some of the information she laid out for us was just really, really frightening. Maybe we can go into it a little bit later, but that's just the setup, I think, for what we want to talk about tonight. And it's not just Fauci. Of course, it's Bill Gates who's funded a lot of this with his Gavi Vaccine Alliance. I did a big article about a week ago, last week, on this. It's must reading for anybody with young kids, young children in public schools where they're going to try to vaccinate them against your wishes.
Well,
and
you
your
know,
pediatrician is going to start putting pressure on you to vaccinate your 5-year-old, your 6-year-old, 7-year-old.
They're talking about taking it down to being babies. And I guess, let me ask you this. It's just as much as, you know, you just described, nobody knows what's in these vaccines. And they are blind faith walking their children in and getting these vaccines. They are blindly walking in themselves as adults, and teenagers, you know, 20-year-olds. Why do you think they blindly trust and go in and say, I don't care, whatever's in it, just shoot me up? Why do you think they do that? How do they not realize what is going on? Are they that much out of touch with the news that is out there saying that there are people dropping like flies within minutes to weeks after they get the vaccine?
Or even months afterwards.
Right.
Look at all of the super young, super fit athletes that have been having cardiac events.
Yes.
It's over 100 now documented in the last 6 months have either dropped dead or had serious, serious cardiac events. And then others are having respiratory lung problems. These are young people in their 20s, 30s, some of them in their teens. And I remember, I'm old enough, Eliza, to remember when a young man named Len Bias, he was an outstanding super basketball star at the University of Maryland in the early 80s. I think it was around 1982. Correct me if I'm wrong. But he killed over of a heart attack at the age of 18 or 19 years old. And it was a big deal back in the early 80s. The media literally did not let up on the authorities until they found out what caused this young, super fit basketball player to up and die of cardiac arrest. Well, it turned out he'd snorted some extremely pure cocaine about 2 hours before he died.
That'll do it.
And they found out, they got to the bottom of it, they did the autopsy, everybody wanted to know, and everybody found out what caused the death of this young man. But isn't it interesting when you contrast that type of media curiosity, which is what the media is supposed to be. You know, if you're a true journalist, you're supposed to have a natural curiosity and ask questions when something unusual happens. And a 18, 19, 20-year-old dying suddenly, not as someone who's obese and, lounge lizard, you know, sitting on his couch potato. No, a super fit basketball player or a soccer player or, you know, a football player. When these type of young, super fit athletes keel over and die, you might want to get an autopsy and find out why. And we have had over 100 of these in the last 6 or 7 months now. Not a bit curious. I find that curious, don't you?
And yes, and those and the videos that are out on, oh, what's that CCP social app? Drawing a blank on it right now. That there are
TikTok
videos.
Or...
TikTok, yes, there are videos galore. We watch this program. Oh, every couple of nights there's a video that's put out by this guy, and he has a montage of different video clips, and there are people all over this earth that are dropping dead on the soccer fields, on the baseball fields, on the basketball courts, that just are standing there in the middle of playing for the team, just killing over, just dropping over,
yeah,
or falling backwards.
The latest one was this weekend. I believe it was a Swedish soccer player. He didn't have a heart attack, but he had some kind of severe lung problem and had to come out of the game, you know, holding his chest. And, you know, no explanation. Oh, and last week, a member of the Denver Broncos NFL football team, he had just retired a few months ago. He's only 33 years old. Demarius Thomas, I believe, is his name. Former all-pro player, won the Super Bowl one year, you know, pretty big-time athlete. He just died suddenly, and there was no explanation for why in the article I read at ESPN other than, quote, he had a medical issue. Yeah. It said he'd been having seizures for about a year. He suddenly started having seizures about a year ago. Well, what did the athlete start all taking about a year ago?
Right.
But there was no, not even a question, okay, from the media as to what led to this young man having seizures to begin with, and then, you know, why did he die other than just, a, quote, a medical issue? Yeah, if you're 33 and you die suddenly, I would say it's a medical issue. but nobody in the media is asking what type of a medical issue and what could have brought it on. And so it really is amazing to me as someone who's been a journalist for over 30 years to see how this industry has devolved into nothing but a propaganda organ for the federal government and the deep state, the unelected members of the federal government, your Dr. Fauci's, what's the woman who's in charge of the CDC? Walensky or something is her name.
Yeah. I can see her face. I can't remember her name. But
these unelected bureaucrats, they just have their way with the media. They say something and the media doesn't even question it. And these are people who are being paid with our tax dollars. And Fauci is, in fact, the highest federal employee in the country, makes more than the president of the United States.
Wow.
And he's totally unaccountable. And this monster is now telling us how to live our lives to the point where he's saying over the Christmas holiday, when you invite certain family members, any family members over to your house, you need to stop them at the door, he said, and ask for their proof of vaccine.
Right.
Now,
right, and wear masks.
I got news
inside
for Mr. Fauci, but I don't ask my friends or my family members for proof of their vaccine. And if I did, it would be so they wouldn't be allowed in my house if they were vaccinated.
That's right. Amen to that. Because
I dislike them in any way, but there's loads of evidence out there. In fact, Mr. Fauci himself said that the viral load in the nasal cavity of a vaccinated person when they catch COVID, which, you know, before people got these shots, they were saying, get the shot and you won't catch COVID. Then after people got the shots, they're like, well, you could catch COVID, but it won't be serious. Then they started going to hospitals and they're, well, you know, you might go to the hospital, but you won't die. Now they're admitting you can die of COVID even after you're vaccinated. But back to my point. Fauci said that the viral load in the nasal cavity of a vaccinated, fully vaccinated person who has COVID is the same as someone who is not vaccinated and has COVID. So there is absolutely no reason anyone should want to get vaccinated because it doesn't stop them from getting COVID. It doesn't stop them from passing COVID to someone else because the viral load that they're carrying around is every bit as high as if they weren't vaccinated and got COVID. So they talk in circles, Eliza. They think we're not keeping track of all their lies, but we are. How can you say one day that a vaccinated person can get COVID and their viral load is just as high in toxicity as someone who's not vaccinated and therefore can spread it all over the place, but then you tell people, oh, check your family members at the door and ask them to produce their vaccine card. You know, complete bald-faced liars. We're tired of it. We're sick of it. And we have the power to end the charade now if we want to. We just have to get more people to wake up and say we're done with this.
As the intro song said, do not stand down. And it's time we stood up, just like you said, and stand against this medical tyranny that is happening right now. And another line of thought that I just find so incredulous is that the medical doctors that are telling patients, if you've got COVID, just wait until you get worse and then you go in, check into the hospital, go into the emergency room. How many times have you heard patients or people or friends that you know that say, yeah, I asked my doctor, what would he do? What would she do if I got COVID? Well, all they want to do is get you the vaccine or wait till you get so bad you have to go into the hospital. Well, what are the hospitals doing? They're not giving you any of the therapeutics that will get you well within a matter of days. It's been proven. They put you in the hospital. They give you that remdesivir, which is deadly,
And it shuts down the kidneys of nearly 30% of the people who get it. Extremely dangerous, experimental drug.
Yep.
I believe it's only available through the emergency use authorization, just like the vaccines. And yet, long-time tried-and-true drugs like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and others are being shunted aside, being mocked and ridiculed by the mockingbird media, which does nothing but parrot the lies of Dr. Fauci and these other faux doctors, faux scientists, and they always say follow the science. Well, yeah, we do follow the science. It's them who are following a different type of science. I call it junk science. And another thing that's come to light just recently over the last week or so, Eliza, did you see where the FDA is trying to cover up the data from the Pfizer trials? In the first 3 months of this vaccine rollout, almost 1,300 people died from the Pfizer injections. That's come out in the few little bit of data that has been released to the this group that's filed a Freedom of Information Act request. But rather than provide the rest of the data, what does the FDA do? They file in court and they ask the judge that they tell the judge that they need until the year 2096 to release to the public the rest of the data on these injections now that they've been out there on the market for almost a year. They've got the data. They can show the people once and for all what's going on, but they're not going to do it, and the FDA is trying to cover for them.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit about that, and on top of it, they're pushing the fact that, or the missed fact, I should say, the untruth, that Pfizer's the only one that's got FDA approval, and qualify that if you could. Leo, do you understand what I'm trying to get to there?
Yeah. I'm one of the few journalists in the country that reported when that fiasco went down several months ago, where the FDA supposedly approved the Pfizer injection. No, they didn't. They approved another injection called Comirnaty. And is Comirnaty available to anyone in the world right now? No.
Nope.
every injection that everyone is getting from Pfizer is completely being done, administered under the emergency use authorization, just like it always was until the FDA came out with that fake approval.
Right.
And they said the two were interchangeable. Well, then produce both of them and let's compare them. No, they won't do that.
And I think they've actually come out and said that they are not. They are not compatible.
I think there was some ruling saying that they failed to prove that they're the same. Right.
Yep, there was some court that ruled it that way.
So yeah, it's been nothing but smoke and mirrors all along with this vaccine. And even the warp speed, you know, President Trump likes to brag about this vaccine and Operation
Yes.
Warp Speed. Well, let's look at that for a minute. Number one, he didn't come up with the name Warp Speed. But number two, and I've documented this in several articles, and I spoke about it at the conference Saturday with slides and video and everything, that let's just look at the Moderna vaccine. In 2017, okay, Tal Zaks, the chief medical officer, gives a TED talk in which he completely describes that they have a new vaccine that's available, and it's based on mRNA, messenger RNA technology. And through this technology, he said, they can go in and replace code and change a code. He says that they have actually, quote, actually hacked the software of life. And he compared his new technology to a computer operating system. And we can go in and change a line of code, he said, to make the body do this or that or the other. He said, and it can be applied to cancer. It can be applied to any number of diseases, including cancer and flus and viruses. And so he already had the vaccine in 2017. All they had to do was tweak it a little bit for this particular virus. So there was no Operation Warp Speed, you know, getting this thing ready in 8 or 9 months' time. They'd been working on it for years, and they already had it. The only problem was they couldn't get the FDA to approve mRNA technology because it was considered gene therapy, which is too risky, they thought. And then I produced another video of Dr. Anthony Fauci in 2019 speaking at a Future of Health Summit. This is about a year before, 8 months to a year before coronavirus. And he's talking at this conference, him and some other scientific colleagues, on how it was really a shame that he said the traditional vaccines have worked really good for us and they serve a purpose, he said, but we need something better, he said. and this better vaccine would be based on mRNA technology. But they couldn't get the FDA to get it through there, he said, because it takes like 10 years, he said, to get a vaccine approved through the FDA. But and then one of his other colleagues jumped in and said, you're right, we need a disruptive event, they said. Something like an avian flu virus out of China.
Hmm.
Avian flu coronavirus out of China, they said, that would do the trick because the flu is just not scary enough to get people to take these vaccines every year for the flu. They wanted to do this through the flu, by the way. Get the flu shot into every human body with this mRNA technology. Well, people just weren't scared enough of the flu. They needed something scarier. And that was where COVID-19 came into place. They said a year before COVID-19 was heard of from anyone that was the plan, that they needed a disruptive event and that would get the FDA approval and that would get people to line up and roll up their sleeves. So we know their game plan. They've discussed it in their own words. People don't see. That's the beauty of what I do, Eliza Jane, as an investigative journalist.
Right.
I don't need to tell people anything. I can show them in the words of the people who did it.
And that's the best part about what you write about. I mean, you have found amazing facts, amazing stories about what has gone on. This COVID is nothing new. It has been in the planning for, like you said, years. You've even found video, a child's video. You want to talk about that a little bit? I mean, back, and that was just in 2015, as a precursor warning to children that they're all going to have to be masked and vaccinated. And a little hedgehog was just their best friend.
Oh, yes, yes.
Remember that?
Right. That was a movie that came out, I think, in 2016 or 17 about, it was called Hedgehogs or something.
Was that a Disney thing or was that some other? I can't remember now.
I don't remember if it was put out by Disney. I do know that, however, that the main production company for that film was based in China.
Gosh, yeah. Who would have thought, huh?
Yeah. And it was all about children. You know, little baby hedgehogs were like the children, and they were all forced to put their masks on, and then they were forced to get vaccines. And then the big scary danger all went away. The world was saved by the vaccines. Yeah.
Yeah.
2016 movie.
I think it was 2015. And so the indoctrination had started all the way back then.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they have been coming after our children for more than, what, probably 30, 40, 50 years now.
Oh, absolutely.
UN, WHO, all of them. So now the whole plan is to go after our children again with these vaccines and separate
and
the parental rights.
Correct. And they have, you know, people will ask me, well, why do they want to get children vaccinated so badly? Because COVID-19 is not a danger to children. The flu is more dangerous to children than COVID-19.
Well, we don't have any flu anymore, remember?
Exactly, that went away. So let me rephrase that. The flu, the thing they used to call the flu, okay?
The
thing they used to call the flu killed more children than whatever this is. And this is a bioweapon. I have no doubt in my mind. And, you know, most vaccines, and I'm speaking about the vaccine being a bioweapon, most vaccines, as Dr. Kerry Madej explained to us at the conference on Saturday in Albany, Georgia, they give a tiny bit of the dead antigen pathogen to the body. It's just enough so your body will recognize the live virus when you encounter it out in the world, right?
Yeah.
That's the way a traditional vaccine would work. You know, whether it be polio, smallpox, measles, or whatever. But this is not a traditional vaccine, and that's why a lot of people are saying it's really not a vaccine at all. And the CDC had to actually change its definition of a vaccine to accommodate this injection.
That's right.
But
that's another important part.
Yes. What this injection does, according to Kerry Madej, is instead of, killing any confrontation of the virus that your body encounters, attacking it, this actually instructs your body to create the pathogen, which in this case is the S1 spike protein, which was manipulated in a lab by these Dr. Mengele-type researchers.
Yeah.
And she was saying that there was actually some code that was missing when they created this virus, and they filled in the blanks of the missing code with used AI to do that, artificial intelligence.
Hmm.
Yeah, it is really, really sick what they did with this thing. And now they're injecting it into the bodies of every man, woman, and child. And this article that I want people to take a gander at, especially, like I said, if they have young children, is titled "The Real Agenda Behind the Mad Dash to Get Every Child on the Planet Injected Against a Virus That Won't Affect Them." And I take a look at this 2000 18 document from Bill Gates' Gavi Vaccine Alliance. He funds that thing. It's a global vaccine propaganda outfit. And by the way, Dr. Fauci is on the advisory council of the Gavi of Bill Gates' decades of vaccines project, which is tied in with Gavi. And anyway, this Gavi document from 2018, it's called Infuse, the Infuse program, I-N-F-U-S-E. And I link to the program, I mean to the document in there, and people really should read it if they have kids. I think your eyes will be open because there's nothing to do with health. There is no health-based reason why your child should get these vaccines.
Right.
But there is a lot of other reasons, one of which is the vaccine mandate is a cover for an ID mandate. Let me repeat that. The vaccine mandates that we see being issued all over the world by, it seems like, every Western democracy, that is a cover for a coming global digital ID mandate. They're trying to create a global digital ID system that will be, at some point down the road, tied in with the new digital money system, which they are getting ready.
Right.
Within the next 2 to 3 years, Eliza, and all the ladies and gentlemen listening, prepare to hear that money, as we know it, paper money, coins, are going to be phased out in favor of a new digital, programmable, blockchain-based cryptocurrency. Now, you might say, well, we already have cryptocurrency. There's Bitcoin. There's this. There's that. And I own some Bitcoin, and it's been right profitable, and I like it. Good for you. That's not the type of cryptocurrency that I'm talking about. Bitcoin is an independently existing managed cryptocurrency. The big new cryptocurrency that the central banks of the world are working on as we speak and will be rolled out within the next year and a half to 3 years, I have no doubt, because over 65 countries' central banks are working on this, including China, India, Sweden, the United States. They all are working on a central bank, centrally managed cryptocurrency that will at some point be mandated. And what this new cryptocurrency will do is it will be tied in with your ID and your vaccine history, and that vaccine history is going to be on your phone with the digital health passports, okay? That's the launching pad. That's how it's going to start. They get people to accept these digital health passports on their cell phones. You take the little app, and then you show your app as you enter a grocery store or a restaurant, a pub, you know, any place in public life. It's already happening all over the world.
Right.
They're rolling out in the United States in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, already has it in the United States, but it's mostly in other countries. They're ahead of us in this regard. Austria's gone to it. Germany's gone to it. France has it. Italy has it.
Australia
has it.
Yep.
All of the Western governments are moving to this, where you won't have a public life. You won't be able to participate in society unless you show your little app on your phone showing you're up to date on your shots. And people are just now finding out that they were conned, that one shot or two shots isn't going to be enough. They need to get continuous booster shots every 6 months to
because
update
it's big money. It's big
yes.
money.
Yeah, of course it's big money. But
and
it's also going to destroy them. It's going to destroy their immune system. It's going to destroy their health. And I believe if they get enough of these shots, it's going to get to the point where it could destroy even their soul, if that is possible.
And if you think about it, it's a way of controlling the population.
They 100%. That's what this is all about.
Right.
And once they get people to take this app on their phone, The next step will be the digital money system and the social credit scoring system. So if you have too low of a social credit score, like they do in China, you won't be able to do anything. Just like you won't be able to do anything already if you're not vaccinated, you won't be able to spend your money anywhere, your digital money, if you have, say, too many strikes against you on your social media accounts, or you associate with people who are politically incorrect, people like me who go around speaking negatively about the so-called vaccines. You won't be able to go to the grocery store. You won't be able to go to the restaurant or a ball game or any place like this. You will be a social outcast. You won't be able to ride public transportation. You won't be able to get on an airplane. You won't be able to get a loan to buy a house. So this is where it's heading. That's why I'm saying nothing else matters right now, people. We have so many problems in this country. I could go down a list that would be never-ending in terms of the problems in this country. You know, immigration, open borders, CRT being taught in the school, sexualizing the kids in public schools. Well, guess what? That battle's been lost. Get your kids out of public school. But the battle that hasn't been lost yet, that we can still stop, at least in this country, are the development of these vaccine passports. And once they become ubiquitous on everybody's phone, they're going to add the restrictions on other parts of your life, including your bank account. And that's why we must understand that time is running out. We must have a sense of urgency. This is the hill to die on, Eliza. If this is lost, our country's lost. The open borders could destroy our country in what, 5, 10, 20 years?
Oh, I don't think it'd be that long. I really don't think it'd be that long. Look at what
this
you're bringing
destroy,
in terms
this
of...
This could destroy our country next month.
I know.
This could destroy our country next month if the Supreme Court rules, and I believe they're heading in this direction.
I think it's even worse, though, Leo.
If the Supreme Court rules that Biden's vaccine passports are somehow constitutional, you will see this rolled out all over, just like they're doing right now in Germany and Austria and France and Italy and Australia, New Zealand, Canada. Canada's rolling with it, our neighbor to the north.
I know.
This is truly scary.
But I think they're taking it one step further, aren't they? From what I've read across numerous articles and yours, a lot of yours, they're actually going to be taking this one step further, not just an app on your phone. It's going to be a digital implantation in you.
They do have technology for that, correct.
Right.
That's the quantum nanodot patch. Where they can put an invisible tattoo on you, which is only readable with an infrared light. You take a cell phone with an infrared light app and you shine it on the person's wrist and you see the little QR code that shows, yes, they're up to date on their vaccines. That is the next step, correct?
Right. And that from that perspective, you know, we're all talking about this app on the phone. Well, I'll just get rid of the phone. Then I don't have to worry about it. Well, that's not the case.
Exactly. People think they always have, a workaround. I've heard people say stupid stuff like, well, I'll just forge a vaccine card. You know, those people are so behind the times, they don't even realize that it needs to be on a phone. It needs to be digital. It needs to be electronic. They're still thinking of, their paper vaccine cards that are out there.
But
like you said, even if you recognize that it's digital and on the phone, a lot of people think, well, I'll just get rid of my phone, like you said. No.
Right.
The next step is going to be you have to have it right on your person. That's why we can't just attack this like that. We can't attack it, from some kind of logistical workaround. There isn't going to be a logistical workaround as long as we allow these people to question us. We can't allow them to question us when we enter a public facility about our vaccine status. That's the bottom line. We need to not allow them to vaccinate our children. We need to take them out of public school, because guess what? When you drop them off at that school, they are no longer under your control. The school has control for that 6 to 8 hours that they're there, and you don't know what's going on during that 6 to 8 hours every day. And so it's time for people to truly wake up and stop playing by the other side's rules.
Exactly. I mean, there's so much just beyond the vaccination status, because they're offering pizza, they're offering free tickets to movies, and the kids don't know any better. They're just going, okay, I'll tell my mom and dad when I get home what they did, and it's too late. You can't do it.
Absolutely. I read an article just day before yesterday. I don't remember what state it was in, but the woman said she sent her kid to school, and he came back home with a vaccine card, and she said, what?
Yep.
And it turns out he agreed to get – the kid was like 9 or 10 years old, and he agreed to get vaccinated in exchange for a slice of pizza.
Ugh.
Yeah. So sad.
And so I worry about kids and what they're being indoctrinated with, and you know, just even the mask mandates just make me crazy on a child. Just make me crazy. But I went to the CDC. I talked to you a little bit about this before we started the show that I thought was quite interesting, just for some historical perspective and what they're saying. And it turns out Georgia is probably the least vaccinated, which surprised me. They're showing probably, let's see, of course, D.C. is the most vaccinated. The Northeast is more vaccinated. Surprisingly, Arizona's northern side is the most vaccinated. Probably Nebraska, they don't have any data on, which I don't know if they're vaccinated or not in that case. But surprisingly, there's a lot of area in California that's not as vaccinated, surprisingly. But Georgia is literally at 30% or less. So it goes all the way up to 70%, and the most probably is, like I said, northern Arizona is the most vaccinated. So,
That's why America presents a problem for these globalist elites who want to get this thing into the arms of every man, woman, and child on the planet. We don't tend to follow along. We're not quite as obedient, like good little obedient sheep, like they are, say, in Germany. And I'm not saying that to be negative. I'm half German but descent myself. But I've been told by some of my relatives who are, you know, live in Germany still, that the German people are a very compliant people. Austria, the same way. Elisabeth Sabadich Wolf, I've done a couple of podcasts with her, and she's described Austrian people in a similar fashion. People are fighting back, though, even in those countries, and even more so, I think, in France and Italy. Huge protests in Melbourne and Sydney, Australia over the weekend for like the seventh weekend in a row. And so people are fighting back in those countries as best they are able to. They don't have a Second Amendment in those countries. So America presents a little bit more of a problem. If you've only got 30 to 50% people vaccinated in many of the states, that's a problem because that's why they're trying to rush these things into the arms of people so fast before we wake up and find out what they're doing to people. So the longer we can stall this off, I believe the more people will wake up, and the odds of them getting it into 70-80% of the American people is going to be decreasing with every day that we can hold out on this. And so don't do anything rash, even if your job is threatened. Do not quit your job. If you don't want to get it, don't get it, but don't quit your job. Hold out to the last possible minute, and then if they want to fire you, let them fire you. Then you file a lawsuit against them. And there's plenty of good attorneys out there who will take your case. And a lot of them don't even charge anything. They're pro bono law firms like Liberty Counsel and, the Rutherford Institute and just several others. So you can go on to Frontline Doctors' website, and they have a legal resource team there. You can go to childrenshealthdefense.org, and they have legal counsel there. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a brilliant attorney, and he's fighting this thing. We have a lot going for us. People should not lose hope. People should not get depressed about this. Just keep fighting.
Well, you know what's always amazing to me is how much taxpayer dollars are being spent, U.S. taxpayer dollars are being spent to indoctrinate, to vaccinate, to pay all of these organizations that indoctrinate and put out promos with mothers sitting there with babies smiling, happy that their child has been vaccinated. And this Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance that you wrote about, is one of those companies. What's it say? Would you write in here that they've got $1.6 billion in taxpayer dollars that it received under President Trump?
Absolutely. Yes.
It's nuts.
And this is a nonprofit organization funded by Bill Gates. And they needed money. They needed more money. You know, Bill Gates' money was not enough. So they're getting U.S. taxpayer dollars to the tune of almost $1.2 billion allocated in 2020 under the Trump administration. And from what I understand, a lot of the money that Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord, he shifted over to this horrific organization.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
President Trump has a lot to answer for. He did a lot of good things, and he was a very good president in terms of our economy and tightening up the border and did a lot of good things. But on this vaccine, he should not get a hall pass. He needs to be held accountable for the money he put into this, the taxpayer dollars, use the power of the presidency to promote these things. And I could understand maybe he could have gotten bamboozled and hoodwinked by some of these clever bureaucrats into thinking he was doing the right thing. But surely by now he should understand, he should know that was a mistake. And yet he continues to promote these vaccines, saying that they're wonderful, that they're good, and everybody should get them.
I was listening to a Mark Meadows interview by, I think, Stu Peters had him on, and he was confronted. Stu Peters is pretty good if anybody watches him.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at
yeah.
confronting people and then letting them speak. Well, Mark Meadows said, yeah, President Trump was really promoting the vaccines, but he made it optional. That's the key thing that, you know, I guess we have to consider. Still, I'm not going to give him a hall pass.
Wait a minute.
He said he didn't force them as mandated vaccines. Trump didn't. But what he also allowed was the therapeutics, like we talked about, the ivermectin, the hydrochloroquine, and the others. He allowed all of those to also be used. He did not shut those down. So there's a little bit of leeway there that you can give him. But you're right. Him promoting the vaccines. And what was that, like 6 months ago? He was, I think, here in Georgia. He got booed when he started promoting the vaccines.
That was in Alabama.
Alabama, okay.
Yes. And, that was 5 or 6 months ago in Alabama where he got roundly booed when he started talking about the vaccines. And I know more about that than I can say, so I have to watch what I say. But
under contract somewhere.
Yeah. He said that the government would never mandate them. Well, number one, how did he know that? Because once he's out of office, the government is trying to mandate them.
Right.
Okay? So that was a hollow promise. But number two, even if the government did not mandate them, he never said he had any problem with private businesses mandating them for people's jobs. Right.
He said that? I know Biden has said that.
I said he never said, President Trump never said that private businesses should not have the right to mandate. So if you're not saying they shouldn't have the right, you're leaving that open. And so While he said the government should never mandate it, he never came down hard about the worst problem in this country, which is private corporations mandating them. And I predicted when he said that, when he was still in office, I'm like, what are you talking about? It doesn't matter if the government mandates it or not. This is going to be done through private corporations, and people are going to be forced to get it or lose their job. It's going to be coming through under people's income. They know how to attack us in this country through our income, and so they don't really need the government. They would like to have that so they can get those of us who would rather quit our jobs than get the vaccine. That way they can get us through a government mandate. And that was the only thing President Trump came down hard against, was a government mandate. But like I said, he wasn't going to be in office forever, so he didn't even have much power over that. Even if he were to win re-election, that would have just given us another 4 years, and then we'd be stuck with somebody who might mandate it. So the promises were hollow, and the promotion was very loud and hard to miss.
True, very true. Well, we talked a little bit about this being a bioweapon, the vaccines. I have a little bit of a different slant on that. I think the bioweapon is the COVID, and I think I've mentioned some of this to you in previous conversations, that the COVID was released just about the time, just after Trump had actually completed his phase, what he called phase one of the China trade agreement. And he was talking about a phase two approach once he got reelected. So it was just after he came to that agreement with China, and they were not happy with the agreement, but they agreed to the phase one. And he was, you know, taunting all about how great it was and how much better trade was going to be, and how much discussion was surrounding it all. And shortly after that is when COVID got released, the CCP COVID got released. So I, you know, at about that time, I thought he's going to need to have a bioweapon force. He put Space Force in play. He needed a bioweapon force to be able to counteract and stop that. And it never happened. But we've got COVID
that
now.
Because, Eliza, we can't put this off all on the Chinese. Yes, they offered their services.
Agreed. Agreed.
But this all started on American soil with the NIH, the NIAID, the university systems I mentioned earlier at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, University of Maryland. There was a third one. I don't remember what it was. But this is a system that had been well established in this country. This gain of function research, which is just a fancy name for bioweapons research, okay? It has been going on in this country for years, a couple of decades at least. And when the heat got turned up from the scientific community, they simply moved it over to China. And China had none of the restrictions on it even that we did. And so it was a free-for-all once it got over there. They could do literally anything they wanted. The Chinese were literally bragging about it. If you look at some of the reporting done by Natalie Winters over at the National Pulse, she's found statements where the Chinese were admitting this. Mm-hmm. They were proud of it. And, so this biological weapons research. So it's been going on for decades. It far supersedes President Trump, probably started under the Clinton or the Bush administration. And the Chinese came to the game. You know, they were latecomers to the game.
Well, they willingly joined the game, I guess, and
absolutely,
it all got released out of China. So they were willing to do it.
It had to be because it got moved over there from the U.S. labs.
Well, think about it, though.
That was how Fauci thought he could get around the change in laws in this country where it was no longer legal to do bioweapons research.
Yeah.
And so he got around that by moving it to his friend's labs in China. And you've heard Dr. Fauci talk in those congressional hearings where, oh, we have the greatest respect for the Chinese professionalism. They're so professional. And anybody who knows what's going on with China, nothing gets done in China without the full knowledge and approval of the Chinese Communist Party. And so that's who he was working with. This man is an international war criminal. He now has the blood on his hands of he's now murdering five-year-olds with this vaccine.
Yep.
And according to Kerry Madej, this is you can't even call this a virus, COVID-19. You can't even call it a virus because it was made. It never existed anywhere in the natural world. It was manipulated and created in a lab with U.S. taxpayer dollars funding it.
Did she talk about the PCR testing and how that really cannot determine anything? Did she have anything to say about that? I've been reading where this PCR testing is
I don't believe that came up. She presented so much material, though, I could have missed it. But yeah, I've reported on that myself, how the inventor of that PCR test, I reported this last summer in 2020, like around July of 2020. His name is Kerry Mullis. He died shortly before the outbreak of COVID, conveniently. I'm not saying he was, you know, any hanky-panky going on, but let me just say that he conveniently died 3 to 5 months before COVID. And he was the inventor of this PCR test. He said in interviews, and I have videos embedded in the articles I did, that his test was never meant to diagnose anything. It was meant for research purposes only and not as a diagnostic tool. That is the test that they're using to supposedly diagnose people with this virus. And now they say there's an Omicron variant. Show me the Omicron variant. You know, they don't even have a test for it. And now they're saying the first person died of it. The news broke today. Oh, the first person died of the Omicron variant. Oh, really?
Oh, shut the country down. Shut the country down.
Yes.
Good God.
I think it was in the UK, but I don't think anyone's died yet in this country. But they will. You watch. They'll be dropping dead in droves of the Omicron variant, even though they have no test for the Omicron variant. They don't know what it is. I couldn't even tell you. I would not trust that it even exists. It's just another scare tactic.
Right. Another fear and control method.
Right.
I look at it this way. It's like cancer. They won't ever cure cancer because it's too profitable. So now they found another way to control us, another way to infect us, another way to get more money out of us, fighting it. And yet, because the therapeutics are so cheap, that's why we can't have them. They're killing people in hospitals because they won't give them the therapeutics. There are so many people I've been reading about having to go to an attorney after their loved one has been put in the hospital and the hospitals are refusing to give them the therapeutics that would get them out within, 5 days?
Yes. Yes. My mother went into the hospital with COVID, 83 years old. And we made sure that they did not give her remdesivir, and she did fine. She was out in about a week. She's good as new.
Good.
You know, if an 83-year-old woman with a history of lung problems, she's had pneumonia two previous times in her life, if she can get over this thing they call COVID-19, you know, I think almost anyone can. If they're treated properly. And according to Dr. Peter McCullough, who is the most highly cited doctor in the world for COVID-19 treatments, he says that over 85%, probably 90% of the people who've died of COVID could have been saved if they had only been treated and treated as soon as the symptoms started, not waiting until it's advanced and set up in their lungs, and they have to be put on oxygen and a vent, sometimes a ventilator. And so, and 90%, he said, of the 500,000 or however many Americans have supposedly died of COVID could have been saved. And so this man is just an unbelievably credible scientist. He's triple board certified. He's a cardiologist. He's an internist, and he's a I don't know what the third thing is, maybe an epidemiologist. He's got three board certifications, and he's treated more COVID patients than anyone else. And yet the media won't listen to him. Our government won't listen to him. And, in fact, they'll mock him and say that he's a conspiracy theorist, which is unbelievable.
I think he's actually facing lawsuits as well for his the information he's been given out. Hey,
I believe Baylor University is suing him. Yes, he has some kind of a relationship. I don't know if he works there or just got his degree there, one of his degrees there. I don't know what the relationship is he has with Baylor University, but they are suing him, correct?
We've got a question from the chat room I wanted to ask you. We've got somebody called Moving Forward would like to ask you, do you think this is a eugenics attack on America?
I think this is a eugenics attack on the world,
right.
especially the Western world, because the system that these globalist power elites want to implement does not mesh very well with Western values, which are based on what? Judeo-Christian values and capitalism. The system they want to bring in is an all-new system based on technocracy and a new digital money system. And basically, in a technocratic system, you have no God-given rights. Your rights are more like privileges granted to you by the state. And so they know that the people would never accept a system like this unless they had an emergency situation. And that's what COVID has granted them. It has given them cover to go ahead and basically suspend the U.S. Constitution and do whatever they want. You know, there's even an argument, that what happened in the 2020 election, which we all know was laws were broken. The Constitution was completely made a laughingstock with what happened in that 2020 presidential election, because the Constitution says only state legislatures can make laws establishing the way elections are carried out, right?
Right.
State legislatures. Well, people say, but the president declared a national emergency, and all these governors declared national emergencies. So because of the national emergency and statewide emergencies declared due to COVID, we didn't have to follow the Constitution. We did the best we could under this emergency situation. So we had to put these drop boxes all over the place. We had to send out all these unsolicited mail-in ballots. We had to do all this because of COVID and the emergency. So you can see where this, if we don't get a handle on this, it's going on 2 years now of basically a suspended constitution. If we don't end this charade soon, we're going to lose our country. We need to wake up and realize that this is not a temporary situation. They aim for this to be permanent. Permanent every 6 months injections. Permanent, get the digital health passport on everybody's phone. Permanent masking. Permanent masking of little kids in schools. Punish people who don't go along with the program.
Right.
Call them, like Saul Alinsky said, hold them up to public ridicule. Kick them off of social media. Kick them out of the stores and the restaurants if they don't get vaccinated. This is technocracy. This is the system the global elite have wanted for 75 years, but they finally found their opportunity in COVID.
And this is all kind of stemming back to the world reset that's been in the works. It started back with Agenda 21, and the planning started even before that. You want to talk how that all links together?
This can go back. The technocracy movement actually dates back to the early 1930s in Columbia University. a group of professors there started what they called the technocracy movement. And in unlike capitalism or even communism or any other system, which are money-based systems, okay, even in communist countries, they have money, right?
Right.
under a technocracy, they don't view things, they don't view the economic system that way. They believe everything should be resource-based. The economy should be a resource-based economy, not a money-based economy. And so they try to control all of the resources and measure everybody's input and output in terms of those resources. That's why they want to get us out of our cars and put us in what? Self-driving electric cars, so they can collect more data and tabulate our carbon footprint. And if you have too high of a carbon footprint, you get shut down, and that's where the digital programmable money comes in again. And so it's an entire system that was envisioned by these professors back in the early 30s. They even had their own magazine called The Technocrat. But it fizzled out. They were ahead of their time. They were discredited. Along comes 1970, and there's a rebirth of this technocratic movement. And it started with the creation of the Trilateral Commission, which was co-founded by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Mm.
That's a name that students of American history will remember. Zbigniew Brzezinski. He was Jimmy Carter's national security director. But he was a brilliant thinker and a professor before that.
And
he
whose
wrote a
father?
Book.
Let's name whose father she is, or he is.
Mika Brzezinski.
Mika,
yes.
Brzezinski on, what is she,
is
on
MSNBC?
CNN? MSNBC. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Mika and
it
Joe. Yeah.
Down. Yep.
But they're on like every morning, aren't they?
The morning show, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And so he died a few years ago, but his daughter is still carrying on his legacy. But
that's
he
right.
has a big footprint in on American policy that's way beyond anything his daughter is reflective of. He was, like I said, co-founder of the Trilateral Commission, and he wrote a book in 1970 called Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. And in that book, he actually stated in 1970 that a time would be coming soon where there would be an evolution of a elite group of powerful elites who would and we would have what he called a much more controlled society, and they would have data on every human, on every citizen, that they could evaluate in real time. And they would not be constrained, he said, by any sort of religious or moral values. And they could make decisions on their own, free of any elected leaders or anything. And this is technocracy. And this is what we're seeing today, with unelected leaders, bureaucrats, having way more power, people like Fauci, than anyone in Congress or sitting in the White House. It basically, technocracy, if you had to define it, is the science of social engineering, and it always leads to the end goal. Is the end goal of technocracy is dictatorship by experts.
Dictator by experts.
Unelected experts, bureaucrats,
unelected.
Scientists, data gatherers, engineers, people like this. These are the people who are the new power center of America right now. What does Congress do? What does your Congress? My congressman doesn't do anything.
Nope, mine doesn't either. And that's why I keep
They just obey orders. You know, all you have to do is control the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader of the Senate, and Congress is completely. They all fall in line.
They blather.
They
just get
yes.
up there and blather. Yep.
Yes. I mean,
so calling
the only
them won't do anything.
The only member of Congress I can think of, out of all 100 senators and all 435 members of the House, the only one I can think of offhand, maybe two, who has said anything about these vaccines is Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, and a
yeah,
little bit from Rand
one time.
Paul.
He only did it one
and a little
time,
bit
I think.
From Rand Paul, not much.
Yep. Yep. They're not doing their jobs in terms
no.
of the elected officials that we put there. And calling them, writing them, I keep hearing so many times, and I get emails galore that say, call them, email them, contact them now. I don't see where it does any good. I have to say that we have to get out and vote in 2022 because
I'm
gonna
I'm going to look up that quote from Brzezinski and read it verbatim. I was paraphrasing, but I want people to hear it because it is chilling that he would have said this. You know, in 1970 he would have written this. The internet wasn't created until what, the mid 90s. And
I don't know,
Facebook.
I'd have to call Al Gore.
Yeah. The internet started around 1993, 94, but it wasn't
somewhere
ubiquitous.
There, yeah.
It wasn't ubiquitous until around 2000.
Well, what do we do to defeat all of this evil? We've got a question again from Movin. How do we defeat this? What's the outlook? What do you think we need to do? Can we defeat it? I guess maybe that's the bigger question. Is this defeatable? Is the common person sitting in their living room contemplating what they need to do next? What would you think they should do?
They need to grow a spine.
There you go. That'd be a start.
For starters, don't just roll over at the first sign of somebody trying to coerce you into something. And take ownership over your decisions. People say, oh, I was forced to get, I know people who say, oh, I was forced to get it by my employer. Oh, really? Did your employer come in and hold you down and strap you down and plunge the needle into your shoulder? No, you agreed to it.
You're right.
And not only
that
you agreed to it, you agreed to it without even waiting to see if he would actually fire you like he was threatening to do.
I know a couple of folks that were threatened with the vaccine mandate or they were going to be out of there as of December 8th. And the fear was real, but they gathered their thoughts together. It was a couple, and they put their thoughts together and said, look, we're not getting the vaccine because that's our decision to get it or not. They're not going to force it on us if it means us losing our jobs. And they were doing quite well in their jobs and had been there for upwards of 30 years case of one. And they were smart enough that they understood what the threat was. They understood what it could have meant to them physically if they got the shot. So they said, you know what, it's just not worth it. We will sell everything and move, do whatever we need to do.
Yes.
It is not going to be
that,
right. And you know, that day came and went.
Exactly, and the sun came up the next day, right.
That's right, and they're still in their job. So, yes, in some ways, the courts have finally stepped up in doing their jobs, but you're right, it's still in a pending status at this moment. They could turn that around and say, no, government's got the right to do this. No, in fact, they don't. I think, tell me what you think on this. I think if the courts come back and allow the vaccine mandate to stand, I have a very concerning thought that this is going to actually release a revolution. People are going to say,
"That's
you know
an
what?
Interesting thought, Eliza." That
yeah,
hold that thought. Let's discuss that. Hold that thought. but first, I found this quote from Zbigniew Brzezinski, so I wanted to read it so people don't think I'm making anything up or maybe stretching the truth a little bit, you know.
Not you. Not you. You don't.
Right. So I included it in two of my articles over the last several months, but here it is. In that book, which I said, the title is Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era, which was published in 1970, Zbigniew Brzezinski, former National Security Advisor to President Carter, wrote, and I quote, "The technotronic era involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled society. Such a society would be dominated by an elite, unrestrained by traditional values. So it will be possible to assert almost continuous surveillance over every citizen and maintain up-to-date, complete files containing even the most personal information about the citizen. These files will be subject to instantaneous retrieval by the authorities," unquote.
Wow.
Now, if that doesn't sound like today and vaccine passports, I don't know what does.
Right.
And this was written in 1970, 25 years before the internet and about 35 years before Facebook and Twitter started creating dossiers on every American. This has been in play. This has been in the planning stages, I should say, as you said, Eliza, for many decades.
Right.
We are just experiencing the reason we're so shocked and we have such, incredulity and we have anxiety based on all this stuff we're seeing is why? Because they have launched into their endgame scenario. The frog has been boiling in the pot for 40 years, and they've been just gradually turning up that burner a little bit every year, and so we haven't noticed how less free and how fewer liberties we have now than we did even 10 years ago, let alone 50 years ago, By lulling us to sleep in this way, they've gotten themselves in their position now. They have their people in all the key positions of power, academia, the media, key positions in both parties. Look at Mitch McConnell. What a useless, spineless turd.
He's married to. The Chinese.
Yes. And so they have all their people in the key positions of power. And so they said, now's the time. Now's the time. We're going to launch into our endgame scenario, and we're going to flip this script on people, and we're going to take this system down. That's why they talk about build back better.
Yeah.
See, COVID is nothing but a tool being used as a wrecking ball. They want to wreck what's left of our economy. They want to wreck what's left of our civilization. Our culture, anything that's godly, anything that's good, anything that's true, and they want to bring in this new demonic system that they've coveted for decades.
Well,
they
came after the adults. They started with the adults. Okay, everybody from 55 to, to 90 has to get the vaccine, and the others can just mask up and do 6 feet apart. Oh, now all of a sudden you've got to do it from the 30s all the way up to 90s. Okay, because the older ones are going to infect the younger ones and the parents and the blah, blah, blah. They went through and we got, like you said, we were like sheep. Okay, I guess as adults we can take the vaccine. We can not take it, whatever. We can do the 6 feet, the mask. We complied, we complied, we complied. Now they're touching the children.
Yes.
And people are starting to wake up. People are starting to understand that this is not going away when it was only going to be a 2 week time frame, right? Originally,
2 weeks to slow the spread. Yeah.
To slow the spread. 2 weeks. And now it's 2 years and we're still finding out that they're mandating now down to babies getting the vaccine.
They're moving the goalposts every step of the way. Right.
Right.
Even Biden said when he first took office in January, we're not going to mandate anything. We're not going to mandate the vaccine.
Yeah, Kamala, they've got
both. You look at every other country, Liza, if you look at every other country that's doing this, they're all reading from the same script. It's amazing. They all started out saying this vaccine won't be mandatory. Nobody's going to be mandated to get it. We just want to give the older people, the vulnerable people, but then after they got it into the arms of all the older people, then they went for the middle-aged people.
Right.
Then they moved the goalpost again, and they said we need to get it into people 18 years and older, 18, and then they moved to the 11 to 17-year-olds. Now Fauci's talking about by next spring he wants it into little babies 6 months old. They're not going to stop until they, as Rand Paul said just yesterday, I believe, they're not going to stop until they inject your newborns before they leave the hospital with this poison.
People are doing it. I saw a video of some young mother with, she was all of, 2 or 3 years old. And guess what? Now they, or no, five, she was five, because the 5 to 11, I think, is what they were talking about. I think it was the Pfizer vaccine is now available. So she was just on this video and saying to her little girl, Susie, isn't it going to be great? You can get the vaccine so you can go out and play with all your friends now. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, Mommy, that's great. I'm thinking, are you friggin' nuts? How
well,
that, in the
they're
world
using
do people
Sesame
buy
Street.
Into that?
They're using
oh,
Elmo,
yeah.
you know, to
Elmo.
Push this.
Yeah.
It is Leo, sick. It is sick.
It is evil. It is demonic. And we've got to stand up. As Tom Petty and Heartbeat or whatever his team
Heartbreakers.
Was. Heartbreakers. Thank you.
Yeah.
Don't
this,
back
these
down.
These are some heartbreaking times, man. I'll tell you what.
That's right. That's right. We've got to stand up against this because this is not good at all. And I can see us moving, you know, Australia is a good example of where we are almost there.
Yes.
And
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say not only Australia, but Austria, two different countries. Austria in Europe. They are now mandating huge fines and jail terms of up to a year if you're not vaccinated.
Didn't they just have not the prime minister, somebody at high level there in Austria just stepped down? And so I thought that was going to turn things around a little bit over in Austria.
Maybe it will. I haven't seen the latest news today. I hope maybe something has turned. Yes.
Yeah, somebody stepped down, and I don't know if it was a forced step down. I can't remember the details on it. This was a couple of days ago, so I was hoping Austria was going to start to turn around and stop this. I mean,
people are fighting it. People are fighting it over there.
They are.
And
they
don't
are.
Have, like I said, they don't have a Second Amendment, and they're doing the best they can, and we have to pray for those people and give them all the moral support and prayer support that we can.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
We could shortly be in the same type of situation. Now, back to your comment a little bit ago, I found very interesting. You were talking about what, a revolution or a civil war, maybe being maybe they're trying to stoke that.
Yeah, I kind of think that, you know, if the Supreme Court comes back and says, "Oh, you know, we've discussed it, we've decided based on precedent, whatever, they've come out and they've identified that it's okay for the government to mandate the vaccines, and OSHA will be instrumental in endorsing it and putting it in place. So I think that could be a breaking moment. That could be a huge breaking moment and bringing people into the streets and saying, you know, in my little community right here, I don't see anybody in the streets, but I keep thinking, well, all right, I'm in Georgia. I'm in a small town. It's pretty quiet, pretty conservative, but it's not going to be out there and be, you know, it's not going to be missed in all of this. So we're going to at some point have to everybody be in the streets, small and large cities. What do you think?
I agree. That's what they're doing that's what they've been doing in Vienna, Austria for every weekend, according to Elizabeth Sabadich Wolf, for the last several weeks. Since this whole thing came down, and maybe they're making a difference now. I don't know. They've been doing the same thing in Italy. Same thing. I haven't heard too much out of Germany. They seem to be laying down for it, but maybe someone can correct me out there, a listener, if they've heard otherwise. But I've heard about France having huge rallies. I've heard Melbourne, Sydney, Australia having huge rallies. They're trying to do this peacefully. Communism was brought down in Eastern Europe without firing a shot. So let's pray that the same thing can be done with these technocratic globalist monsters who are trying to. The problem is the difference here is so different from previous communist-type takeovers in the sense that it's global. These people, you know, they're very much in the shadows. Whereas everybody knew who the leader of the Soviet Union was, and everyone, you know, knew who the Chinese dictator Mao Zedong was. But these people who are trying to take over all-powerful positions and control the world in our time, they're a little bit less defined. I mean, people know of some of them, you know, Bill Gates, George Soros, the British royal family is steeped in evil. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So evil. In fact, Prince Charles made a chilling statement. Did you hear that at the COP26 climate meetings in Scotland a couple weeks ago?
No. Tell us what it is.
He said that something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, that in order to enact this radical climate agenda, we needed some kind of supreme leader who would have trillions of dollars, he said, not billions, but trillions of dollars at his disposal. And he used the word his, which was creepy because it was almost like he was calling for some kind of world dictator. And he had to back off of that when questioned after the conference, because even the mainstream media found it kind of creepy sounding. And so, yeah, he's one to watch. And it's interesting, isn't it, that the royal family, was it Andrew, is also tied in with these Epstein sex crimes. Yes.
Right.
Some of that has come out at this Ghislaine Maxwell trial this past week.
Right.
Which, as if you notice, the media is giving almost no coverage to. Isn't that interesting?
I think because there's names being said that they do not want to report on and are probably
exactly.
being paid to not report on them.
Yes, yes.
So, gosh.
There was a woman who testified at the end of, I think it was last Friday, who mentioned Prince Andrew, and she said that he absolutely was guilty and had a lot to hide. She got no coverage. It was unbelievable. No coverage from the mainstream media.
Nope. Not even the Bannons of the world. You know, Steve Bannon, you would have thought, would have covered
true.
Some of that.
But great point. Yeah.
There's no conservative news source at all anywhere. I mean, other than reading on your own and finding articles like Leo Homan's website. Let me just give that out again. We're at the 1.5 hour mark. Let me give that out to some of our new people that have joined us. It's Leo Homan. It's HOHMANN.com. So please follow Leo. Go out and read his articles. Stay on top of what he's been writing because his information is so good. So facts. They're all facts. It's factual information and investigative journalism that he is doing on three, four articles a week, don't you?
Sometimes, yeah, 2 to 4 a week. Yeah, absolutely.
So I want people to understand that you are a great news source in all of it is going on around the world right now, not just on the vaccine mandates, because you're covering other stuff as well.
Oh, yeah. And another good source, worldviewreport.com. I've been working with Brandon House to beef up that site. He's doing a 30-minute nightly newscast now that I'm helping him with. We reported just last Friday, I believe, or Saturday's. It's Monday through Friday, and it runs at 8 p.m. Central Time. So that would be 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Half hour. They can find it at frankspeech.com. And we reported on the Ghislaine Maxwell trial and on this woman who testified last Friday. And it was unbelievable what she said. And I haven't seen it reported anywhere else.
Now, is his free or is that a subscription?
It's free.
No, it's free. Okay.
I think you have to sign up for it, but you don't have to pay anything.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah,
and the other one is Stu Peters is pretty good as well. I've been watching quite
a few
of
his. Very good as well, yeah, absolutely.
And what I liked about him is that he doesn't interrupt. He lets the guest speak, and then he finally gets them and nails them. So, yeah, some good news sources out there, but you've got to read between the lines on a lot of it and to get the facts and understand what is going on. Well, what else have you got going on your website, and are you – at any point going to put out a new book or anything?
I just don't have time right now for the book. I was working on one, actually had one about half done when COVID hit.
Oh.
But that just, like I said, this is so much more important than anything else I was writing on. Because these other things, as important as they are, they have the ability to destroy us gradually and have been destroying us gradually.
Right.
But I almost feel like, as I pointed out earlier, they've eclipsed all of that, and they've launched their endgame scenario. And this endgame scenario, I don't know if it's a 2-year plan, a 3-year plan, or what, but if we don't stop it, it's all going to be over within 2 to 3 years. Maybe sooner.
Well, you know,
maybe sooner.
I thought about that when you said that, and it reminded me that was the angle I took when I started researching and investigating the Islamic movement and the Sharia threats. And I felt the same way, the exact same way about that. Notice how that's all gone quiet now. They are under the radar, and I'm just waiting for that to erupt as well.
Which, as I understand it, a lot of them are what they call vaccine hesitant, quote unquote, as well. But you don't hear any ridicule and mocking of the Islamic community, do you? It's all conservative Christians that the New York Times and all these Washington Post have been bashing, you know, week after week for not getting the vaccine. Oh, you're killing us all because you won't get the vaccine. Oh, really? If this was a legitimate vaccine, it shouldn't matter. If you've gotten this vaccine and it's legitimate, it shouldn't matter if I haven't gotten it. You are protected, right? You've gotten it, you're protected. That's how every other vaccine ever worked.
You've
but for some reason, this one's different, isn't it? It seems like the vaccinated are, even though they're vaccinated, they're afraid of getting COVID from the unvaccinated. Isn't that strange?
There's no logic to it. They're vaccinated, they're wearing a mask, and they're staying 6 feet apart. And when they're by themselves, they're still wearing a mask. Even if they're standing outside and they're 6 feet to 100 feet away from people, they're still wearing a mask and even gloves and everything else. I'm thinking, you know, and I've got a sweet friend who says, when we sit down at a restaurant, do you want some of this Purell, this hand sanitizer? I go, no. Well, you know, these menus have germs. I go, yeah, but I'm getting, you know, I'll be able to fight the next germ that comes in.
Exactly. God designed these bodies of ours miraculously. It's a wonderful, wonderful creation. It's called an immune system.
Oh, my God. Is that what it is?
These people, it's like the propaganda narrative that is dominating everything right now seems to be telling us there's something wrong with our bodies as God created them.
Right.
We need this synthetic boost to our immune system to get by in life. And that's what this is, by the way. That's the key word that I was hunting for but didn't come to my mind earlier when we were talking about this so-called virus. It's synthetic. It was created in a lab, and that's why the vaccine, see, has to also be synthetic. And so they are using mRNA technology to get your body to create a foreign synthetic pathogen. And how in the world can we think that that would be good for us, would be good for anyone? And what this spike, S1 spike protein does, according to Dr. Carrie Madej and others, is it invades the cells and it causes inflammation. And inflammation is what's causing inflammation of the arteries and the blood vessels is what's causing these strokes. And a lot of these spike proteins are also accumulating in the ovaries, and they're going to cause sterilization of the women. They can give heart inflammation. That's where the myocarditis is coming in, especially in the young men. And so it's causing all sorts of problems. Yes, some people are dying within hours or weeks.
Even
but
weeks, right.
I think that's going to be the smallest impact of this. The biggest impact is going to be death by 1,000 cuts.
Right.
And it's going to be long term. People are going to be weakened, are going to be sickened, and yes, some of them will die. But you've got to see also from a geopolitical standpoint how this benefits our enemies. China and Russia are not giving mRNA and DNA gene-based vaccines to their people. They're giving more traditional vaccines, as I described earlier. And so isn't it interesting that the West, the United States, Western Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, these are the traditional enemies of what? China.
Yeah.
They're the countries that are forcing these experimental gene therapy injections into the arms of their people. While China and Russia, I don't know that they're mandating the vaccines at all, but if they are, they're not the same kind of radical new vaccines that we're giving our people. And so while we're giving an experimental thing to our people that could end up harming them and weakening them, they're not getting that. What does that tell you from a geopolitical standpoint?
Right. Well, you know, what I find interesting is the the inventor of the mRNA vaccine, Dr. Robert Malone, is on the side of he thinks it should be optional for people to get the vaccine, but he is totally against the forced vaccine, and definitely, I mean, he is very outspoken against children getting the vaccine.
Yes.
The inventor of it. Why are people?
He invented the platform. Correct.
He is being challenged, and he is being shut down, and he has been being called a fake doctor. It's amazing with the experience and the medical degrees that these folks, Dr. McCullough, like you mentioned, and Robert Malone and a host of others are standing up against this, and nobody is listening. But there is, I want to tell people about this in case they didn't know. There was a program that was on 9 nights in a row. It was a 2-hour episode that was COVID Revealed was the name of it. I don't know if anybody got a chance to get in on that and watch it. What they did is they put out one episode a night, and then they gave you 24 hours to watch it in a podcast on their website. Well, then they took it down and started the next one. Well, that was crazy for me because I've got so little time that I wanted to download every one of them and just sit quietly when I had some time and watch them. Well, wouldn't you know it? Excuse me. I have a little bit of a tickle in my throat. There are people out there that are smart enough to download it and upload it on other other venues. So on Rumble and BitChute, of course it wouldn't stand on YouTube or even Vimeo. If folks want to go and watch these are amazing videos with these doctors and specialists in every one of them. And the person who's got them posted is called BitBand, BitBanned. Again, that channel is on BitChute and on Rumble, where you can get all 9 episodes plus a few more. And I think it's highly worth letting everybody understand this, see this. And I may update the description on the show tonight to actually add that into it so people will have that when they go back and listen to this. Great resource for understanding and what's going on as well. We've got
Absolutely.
To be educated on this.
I know
stuff.
You sent that to me as well, Eliza, and I can't wait to watch some of those episodes. Yes.
Yeah, good doctors in there explaining it all. One of the ones that I did listen to, I don't remember his name, but he's been prevalent in a lot of different videos with frontline doctors and others, was saying how he was looking to leave the country. He had been shut down at his medical practice and lawsuits against him, and so he can't even practice right now. He's looking to go to another country because his country has deemed him unnecessary and can't practice. All of his medical career down the tubes, he cannot practice medicine anywhere in the United States right now. How dare
they? They're collapsing. I believe they're collapsing our economy. They're going to collapse the dollar. That's what all this runaway spending and inflation creating hyperinflation is about. There's a plan in the works to collapse the dollar. Because that has to happen before they can bring in that new digital money system I was talking about earlier. But they're also collapsing the healthcare system. We already had a chronic shortage of nurses before COVID.
Right.
Now they're going and these hospitals are firing in some cases 20 to 30% of their workforce, their nurses. And, you know, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Four states today, I reported for the Worldview Report, at least four states are calling in the National Guard to provide services at their hospitals because they fired so many doctors and nurses that they don't have staff to treat people.
Well, here's another one to think about, and this one didn't cross my mind until I came across this article, is because of the COVID mandate or the vaccine mandate, they're firing people that manage the prisons, half the staff in these prisons. So now they're trying to decide how many prisoners they can release.
Wow.
Now they're looking at the prison inmates to say, well, gee, we've got 500. I bet we could let 100 of them go because we don't have the staff to manage the site.
And is it any wonder that crime is totally going crazy in major cities right now?
It's the insanity.
Have you seen these smash and grab gangs who are just going into stores and looting everything in there, like in San Francisco, L.A., now it's spread to Chicago?
Yep.
This is going to be spreading to a town near you pretty soon if this continues, like you said, and they're letting prisoners out of jail.
Yep. Here's a good story for you. Here's a good story for you. I saw where DeSantis, we all love DeSantis and what he's doing for Florida, but he actually asked for a bill to move all of the illegals that have been deposited into Florida, moving them to Delaware.
I saw that in Martha's Vineyard.
I loved it. I thought, boy, pass that bill, get them moved, get them out of Florida.
On the flip side, did you see Gavin Newsom said that he's going to have his attorney general draft a bill modeled after Texas's abortion law, new abortion law, where people can sue abortion providers and put them out of business, and that law has been successfully upheld at several different levels of the courts, I think by the Supreme Court now.
It did.
So Newsom came out today and said that he's going to have his attorney general draft a bill modeled after that, only targeting gun owners and gun manufacturers, so that citizens of California can sue the gun manufacturers. And, you know, just totally insane. And good luck with that. I don't think it's going to work, but he is definitely playing to his base, and so I'm sure that will play well among the far-out liberal crowd in California.
Oh, California. You had an opportunity to get rid of him. Good gravy. Yeah. What happened?
Well, maybe they don't have free and fair elections anymore in California.
Oh, come on. Surely they do. Come on.
I don't know. How does Nancy Pelosi get reelected every 2 years?
Oh, and great news today. She's staying in office because she's going to run again when she promised she wouldn't.
The woman can't even put together a coherent sentence.
Well,
did you hear her speaking over the weekend?
Yeah,
she was slurring her speech, speaking nonsensibly, and it was just ridiculous. The woman is too old for starters. She's like, what, 80 years old?
Yeah,
she appears to have a problem with alcohol.
Gee, no. Do you think? Between that and her high-priced ice cream, huh?
I was trying to be kind, Eliza, blaming it on alcohol. She may actually have Alzheimer's.
Well, her and Biden, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we're almost at the end of the show. This has been a great show. I'm so glad you were able to join me tonight because I couldn't have kept it going for all the work that you did tonight. Thank you. But
I definitely have enjoyed myself. Thank you for having me on.
You are welcome. If we get a chance again, we'll be back. I just want to remind everybody, Leo Homan is an author, Stealth Invasion, one of the best books out there, Muslim Conquest Through an Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. What was that about? 2016, Leo? 15? When did you write that?
2017, yeah.
17, okay. It's been a great read. I've got my hard copy.
It is highly relevant, again, with all of the Afghan refugees flooding in from Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I just did a Google search at, what hour was that? I was up from till 1:30 this morning, I think, and I was Googling measles. And holy cow, so get ready for the measles vaccination, too.
Of course. Yeah.
The illegals are bringing in
like 83,000 totally unvetted Islamic refugees coming from a country whose culture is completely antithetical to everything American culture stands for. They didn't vet these people. They didn't even ask them basic questions. But from what I understand, most of them, if they could talk their way onto the airplane, they were allowed on. And so this is going to cause massive problems in the years ahead. We've already had reports of women being raped.
Yep.
There was a stabbing in California last week carried out by a Afghan refugee who was shot dead on the spot by a police officer. I don't have time to report on this as much as I used to because I'm so embroiled in the vaccine passports and the mandates and the technocracy and the new forced medical tyranny that's being brought down upon this country. But believe you me, it is still an issue. It's still out there, and it's going to get worse now that we've got tens of thousands trying to be flown into cities all across the United States.
And they're doing it under the darkness of radar because they don't want you to know who's coming into your state. They don't know who's going to. You don't know who's going to be showing up at your next door. It's all, you know, if they were above board and really forthright in what they were doing, it might be more acceptable. But you're right. We've got antithetical to even any U.S. culture whatsoever, with all of these illegals coming in and the Afghans that are coming in. And yet, you know, there was room on the plane for the Afghanis, but there wasn't room on the plane for the U.S. citizens that were left behind. What is there, like 1,400 still over there?
Yeah. Several hundred at least, maybe up to 1,000 are still over there.
I know. And yet they still have not even made any paths to try and get them back here.
And no media, again, the lapdog media, so as not to embarrass Joe Biden, stopped covering that issue a long time ago. That the Afghan debacle was big news for what, about 3 or 4 days in the mainstream media, and that was it.
Glenn Beck has still got his little counter on it, you know, so many days and counting that they've left them behind. But, again, there's really not a whole lot of anything happening.
Nope.
So. Well,
it's been my pleasure to be on with you this evening, Eliza, and hopefully we can do it again sometime.
Absolutely. I look forward to it because you are just a wealth of knowledge and information and history, and, man, I just eat it all up. And the listeners, we've had some really good listeners with some questions. And, folks, I want to just kind of say to all of our listeners, I'm still trying to remember how this thing operates, so if I didn't get to your question, I apologize. I did see a hand in the studio, but I was afraid to figure out how it works. I apologize again. But
can do this again, yeah, it'll become second nature to you.
Oh, I hope so, because I'm wondering if I'm actually starting to fall down the abyss. Oh, my gosh.
So.
Yeah. Well, anyways, but Leo, you are just a plethora of information, and I am so happy that you were able to join tonight. I know it was last minute, so thank you for doing this. I know you're a busy, busy, busy man. Stay safe, stay alert, and pray for America. That's all I can say is because we've got to be alert. We've got to be alert. Yeah. Go out, and like I said, I know I've said it multiple times tonight, but leohoman.com, leohoman.com, H-O-H-M-A-N-N, .com, please.
Man with two N, yeah.
Yep, yeah. I tried to, you know, sometimes I get accused of having a Southern accent, and then I get accused of having a Midwest accent, so I'm not quite sure how much.
I have the same problem, Mayor. I was born and raised in Michigan, but I've lived in the South I've lived in the South now for 25 years or more, and so the people in the South still detect a slight Midwestern accent, and they call me a Yankee, but when I go home to visit family in Michigan, I get called a hillbilly.
Makes no sense either there. Oh, goodness gracious. So, well, stay safe, Leo. This has been great. We really appreciate your time and all of this
Absolutely.
Information. And please, everybody, check him out because there will be more articles coming.
Yes. Thank you so much, Eliza.
Have a good night, everybody. We're going to end the show just a few minutes early. And if I don't come back before the holidays, I hope everybody has a very Merry Christmas shared with lots of family and friends.
Yes. Merry Christmas
to all. Open
the
door wide and let them in. Let them come in and sing carols. Enjoy the time. And I don't think, is Hanukkah still going? We should say Happy Hanukkah as well
happy
to our
Hanukkah,
Jewish friends.
Yes.
So, good night, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.